Welcome to I Finally Get It. On today's episode, we sit down with Monica Rougeau. Monica shares her secrets to accomplishing more. In studio with me, as always, Dustin Webb, our producer. I'm your host, Jeff Martin. Let's get it.
At this stage of my life, I feel like there's a whole bunch of things because as you reflect, it's like, oh, so that's why that happened. But for me in this topic today, it's going to be more about going slow to go fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. It sounds very counterintuitive in today's world. However, I think intuitively, I've always kind of known that on a subconscious level. And a few years ago, whenever I was going through a spiritual direction certification course, one of the instructors is a doctor of psychology. And she was saying, well, you need to slow down in order to go fast. And Jeff, that really stuck with me. And I didn't really know why at the time. And then as I'm, you know, continuing to work on my business and doing a lot of reflection, realizing that, oh, that's what she meant.
Yeah.
I'm a little slow on the uptake sometimes. So my aha moment, my light bulb was go slow to go fast, but it took a little while for that to germinate in my head and in my heart.
If it's taken a little while, that means you're on the right track. You're going slow.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know, the world, it says go fast. You know, it's going to be easy. It's going to be, you can do this in no time.
Mm-hmm.
Truth is, that's not right.
No. And at the end of the day, what are we all searching for? What is it that we all really want? And we say success, but why do we want that success?
Yeah.
It's to be able to have that freedom. And I like to do comparisons, Jeff. And so as I'm thinking about this whole concept of go slow to go fast, well, what is fast? And we look at it from that business lens or the corporate world lens, and it's like the grind and it's loud and it's chaos and it's hectic and there's a lot of stress in that. And I'm at a season in my life where I don't think I want that. And so whenever we think about slow, it's calm and it's quiet and it's intentional. And that's what I'm promoting in my clients as true servant leaders. It's developing them to create those healthy cultures that are unitive, those cultures that are calm so that we can think more clearly, so that we can be more intentional and more purposeful in the work that we do. And at the end of the day, you know it. Most of us know it if we stop and really admit it. It's that it's more sustainable and you're going to be more successful in the long run.
Yep.
But are we patient enough to go slow?
In a chaotic, crazy world.
That tells you you have to be different.
That's right. That's
and
right.
I think for me, I felt intuitively, I knew that, even though I didn't have the words behind it or the psychological validation whenever we're talking about human beings, that back in my corporate career, I would fight to take care of my employees, that we weren't just throwing them to the wolves. It was this mindset of baptism by fire, sink or swim. And I'm like, where is that getting you? Because your turnover is through the roof and it's costing you more in the long run and you're not as successful as you potentially could be. And so let's slow this process down. And so that philosophy has followed me in the work that I do today, that I don't want to do the fire hose approach and check it off a box. I like checking things off of a box. It makes me feel good. However, what is it that's substantive that's going to be skills building rather than just saying we did it to do it? It really doesn't form the person.
So you were going through spiritual direction when your director said, hey, slow down to go fast. Can you go back and not personal stuff, but what were you going through that you were speeding up and you were trying to
Well, actually, it's a little different than that. So some of the work that I was doing, I do leadership development and coaching. And some of the spaces that I was in, I was seeing a spiritual director and he kept suggesting that I needed to take the spiritual direction certification course to become a spiritual director. And I'm like, no, not me. And like I told you, I'm slow on the uptake, Jeff. So about 2 years after that, I finally decided I'm going to go through this course and for nothing other than to help me be a better person and a better coach, because I always took the approach that we're going to treat the whole person, not just one aspect of the person. And so during that coursework, one of the instructors, who is a clinical psychologist, was saying, well, you know, you have to go slow to go fast. Right. And we were putting it in the context of spiritual direction and working with a directee. However, the more I thought about it and reflected on it, because that one little mantra out of that whole week of residency, that's the one thing that stands out the most. Go slow to go fast. And so when life starts getting crazy, when I feel like I'm losing my clarity and I'm overwhelmed, that's my cue that I need to take a pause and really slow things down and get clear on what it is that I'm doing. And that way I can be so much more intentional, so much more purposeful in the path that I'm supposed to be on.
Yeah. And it's the right approach. The beautiful thing is what I heard is it aligns with who you really are too. And back in the corporate world, and that's what you're bringing into your leadership and, development coaching and things.
Absolutely. It's an alignment. And many times we're, you know, excuse my French, we're blowing and going, you know, in life. And it's like, let's hit those year-end goals. And we're just pushing like a bulldozer.
Yep.
And think about what that does. You know, you might be making progress, but at what destruction are you leaving
what
behind
cost?
In your wake?
Yep. Yep.
And I'm not about that.
Yeah.
So it's a way to stop and realign with whatever vision, higher power you want to prescribe to. But from a corporate perspective, it's, are we even in alignment with our vision and our core values? This is an opportunity to check that.
Yeah. We lose sight of it because we're so focused on the numbers and the quarter and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go back to your corporate experience, because that was kind of your original path, right?
Right.
The corporate world.
Mm-hmm.
What were you doing?
I was in corporate healthcare, operations and finance, predominantly operations. That was my niche. I'd like to say I formed my niche by going into the underperforming areas and rehabbing them. So I'm not clinical, but I would rehab the people within the organization, working with the leaders, developing the leaders, building the teams. And so that's where my claim to fame as far as in that industry was. And I was good at it. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. And yet life circumstances make you reevaluate what you're doing. And so while I may have been successful from the world's purview, it wasn't healthy and it really wasn't successful and sustainable for me long term.
Yeah.
So I left that industry not knowing what the heck I was going to do.
That's what I was going. Did you know what you were going to
do? No, I had no idea. I knew I needed to leave.
Yeah.
And, you know, so grateful. My husband's the one who's like, just quit. I'm like, I can't quit. So I took that opportunity to stop.
Yeah.
And decompress for a few months, actually. Started reflecting on what did I miss? What was I really good at? And what I want to do for the rest of my life, you know, the back half of my century. I miss the people.
Yeah.
And I was really good at developing leaders and building teams. So I started down that path and became a certified leadership coach and trainer and put some other certifications and trainings under my belt to better serve my clients. And at the end of the day, I want to elevate people's lives on a foundation of servant leadership, Jeff.
Yeah.
They often tell you from a marketing perspective to focus on the positive. And I came out the gate, I want to eliminate toxic leadership. And really and truly, I wanted to be able to promote true servant leadership in this world and kind of fight against what the world tells you the norm should be and what it actually needs to be if we're going to be healthy in all aspects of our life, if we're going to be successful in all aspects of our life, and if we're going to be able to find that true peace that we're all ultimately desiring.
Yeah, correct. It's funny because every time I put out these little deals?
Coasters. Peace and joy?
I choose peace. I put peace on my side. It's weird because I want to bring peace. Business owners should enjoy peace, but they put so much hard work in there. So we are so aligned,
and
it's great. You got into leadership developing leaders. And mm-hmm. tell me where that's taken you so far, because I know that you do some executive kind of business type deal and you do some work with the church as well.
It's an interesting path, and I'm letting him lead me on that. Immediately after founding Elevare, my company, mm-hmm. I got a contract to do workshops, leadership workshops in Rome for priests from all around the world,
which
that blew my mind. And even at that time, I didn't think that was for me, that I was not worthy. This was just kind of a one-off thing. And in that, that just kind of really led me down this journey. I told you again, I'm slow on the uptake. So it took a couple of years before I really just committed to diving into the space of working in the church, because I could see it so clearly, the needs coming from that corporate background. And I'm looking at it from that lens and I could see all the red flags. So got a little frustrated and decided I'm just going to start helping our priest. And because it was the same within the church as it is in the corporate world, is the baptism by fire, sink or swim. They're not equipped to effectively lead human beings in that regard. They're the CEO of a parish.
I don't know that they've had the training, right?
They haven't. It's a rare opportunity that any of our new priests have any type of leadership development. So they cover philosophy and theology in seminary. Sure. They do not cover finances and building maintenance and HR and personnel and all those things and how to build their team of volunteers.
Yeah.
They're not taught that. And many of them go into seminary right out of high school. So there's not a whole lot of lived experiences from the real world to pull from. And so if they're not seeking that out outside of the church, what's happening? They're being named as a pastor, responsible for hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars in a budget.
Mm-hmm.
And what cued me in was in speaking to one of the priests years ago, he said, "Miss Monica, I didn't know what being in the red or being in the black even meant."
Yeah.
And that scared me. It scared me for him and how stressful that is and how overwhelming that is. And it doesn't have to be that way.
Yeah.
So I started doing some work with the priests and I continue to do that today. It feeds a passion of mine. And I also do work with executives and business owners to do one-on-one coaching, roundtables, you name it, workshops, retreats. And I absolutely love it. But the common denominator, Jeff, is that it's all people who want to truly become the person of a servant leader.
That's right. That's right. So which one feeds you more, the business side or the church side?
The church side feeds my soul better.
Yeah. Yeah.
The business side feeds my table better.
Exactly. We have to do what we have to do. But,
exactly.
But I love that you're doing that, because one, you saw a need and you went out to fulfill that need. The need on the business side is great.
It is.
You know, as well. Mm-hmm. So I love that you're doing that. Tell me what's next for you, or some of the projects you have going on right now.
So right now we just launched Charisms and Culture campaign, where it's going into church parishes with the pastor to do a one-day retreat style workshop. It's an opportunity for the priest to be able to get a good look at the gifts in his parish.
Yeah.
Rather than the few people who were always on the forefront, volunteering for everything, putting square pegs in round holes, it's allowing them to really pull on their gifts and finding purpose in that. And how do you weave that in into making a robust team? We have that opportunity for a full day of his core staff members, council members, key volunteers, etc. What is the charism of your parish? And then from there, we build around it, where I'll work with him and some key people to do coaching and leadership development throughout the year. Because again, my whole philosophy is about going slow in that development. It's not a one and done retreat and now you're an expert at being a leader. It's that slower progression, the watering of the plant rather than the fire hose approach to do true skills development and filling in those knowledge gaps.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Dustin and I were just talking about very similar, you know, everything is let's move fast. Let's take the easy button. Here's your deal. But the truth is, if you're going to transform, mm-hmm. it takes time. It takes work, and it takes consistency and execution. You and I are not transactional
people. Yeah. No.
And so transformation, I love what you're doing.
Thank
you. So I'm really excited just to share it with me, because I do feel like the lesson you've shared, go slow to go fast. I've been there, and that's going to help not only me, but it's going to help whoever's watching. But where's a time when you've gone real fast and you've regretted it?
Oh, gosh, so many times. Just early on where I'm thinking this is an exciting opportunity and I'm just going to go all in and let's hurry up and make the deal happen. And then it just falls apart.
Yeah.
Or I get into it and maybe overpromised something and ended up under delivering. So I think there's so many instances from a business as well as a personal perspective. I find I'm getting a lot more success whenever I slow that process down and really discern what is it that this client really needs from me. And it's not about me, it's about them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes they're wanting to hurry up and rip the Band-Aid off. I think society wants that instantaneous response. Let's just take a pill and we'll be fine. No, it takes work. And it takes time. Helping the client to slow it down has sometimes been the biggest challenge. And realigning expectations that we're going to come in and we might do this one day retreat for your team, but it doesn't end there.
Yeah.
It's not a one time fix.
There's follow up and follow through.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. I know that you and I have had conversations in the past. And at one point we got on a phone call and said, look, I'll help you this week. And then next year, you know, and it always got to where you were helping me.
Oh, Jeff, that's so sweet.
And it's like, man, she is very, very good. And
well, it goes both ways. And that's what I said. It's not transactional. It's relational.
No, that's right.
And I think there's something to be learned from everybody who is in front of you.
I agree. I do.
Are we humble enough and are we open enough to receive that?
Okay. That's another light bulb moment.
Okay, good. You know,
being humble and vulnerable enough to accepting feedback as a gift or seeing the lesson that you're hearing or witnessing and absorbing that and taking that in, that's huge.
Absolutely. Because we don't have all the answers. I don't have all the answers. And you were so helpful to me, Jeff, those years ago. It's like, what's your narrative and what's your path? I'm like, I don't know. And that's the beauty of coaching, too, is that we can't see our own blind spots. We need that other person from different perspectives to be able to show them to us, to narrow those gaps.
Yep.
And you were so helpful for me in that regard. But I feel from the very first time that you and I met, it never was, what can I get from the other person?
Correct.
It was more of that relation building and just allowing it to evolve in the way that it's evolved up to today. And I look forward to seeing what it's going to look like 10 years from now.
Yeah, you never know.
Yeah.
You never know. So we've talked so much about going slow to go fast. Mm-hmm. We've talked about being open to and seeing what's around you and learning those lessons. If you are somebody that's listening to this video and you're man, you've just met Monica and she seems like an amazing person, what would you tell them? Well, how would you guide them on to their next phase, whatever that phase might be?
Generally, I would tell them to stop. Mm-hmm. And depending on where they are, take 10 minutes of absolute silence and start to wind down those gears in your head and see what comes out. Because we can't think as clearly as we think we can when all the noise is going on around us. From a neuroscience perspective, which I'm not a neuroscientist, but I like learning about how humans function.
Yeah.
And we stay in a state of stress and noise and chaos. And it bogs down our neural pathways that we're not able to find clear solutions whenever our neural pathways are bogged down. And in that silence, it reduces our stress and it begins to free up that pathway for true solution finding, for clarity and conviction in that. Because so often my clients will come to me because they're overwhelmed and they'll tell me, I just need help with time management. And I chuckle to myself, Jeff, because it's not about time management. It's about getting clear in your true purpose and what that looks like.
Yep.
And the best way to do that is to get quiet and get aligned.
I love that. Do you practice that yourself? I mean, morning routine or evening?
I do every day. From a spiritual perspective, I would often hear from some of my mentors that the more work you have to do, the more time you spend in prayer and meditation. And so if you're having a busy day, then that just means you need to spend more time in quiet, in meditation and prayer.
Yeah.
And again, I thought it was counterintuitive. I'm like, I don't have time. I'll do my little 10-minute, you know, prayer on my way to work in the car.
Yeah.
And that doesn't necessarily work. Yes, you get a lot of graces from it. However, I started practicing a daily holy hour where it's complete silence.
Yeah.
Or maybe some Gregorian chant or some, you know, brainwave noise on the back end. And that has really been so beneficial for me. To remain at peace, to remain calm and clear. And in that, my confidence grows in the path that I'm taking.
Yeah.
Because I'm not always the most confident person going into new ventures. But if I know without a shadow of a doubt that this is where I'm supposed to be, the rest doesn't matter.
Yeah. You just said exactly what I share with folks is, you know, a lot of us aren't very confident. In the things that we're doing. And it's because it's the first time we've done it.
Mm-hmm.
You may have a doctor who's not a marketer, right?
Well, right.
I get that. You didn't go to marketing school. And so you don't want to do video, right? That's just an example. But when you get really clear about what you want to do, and then you practice and you become more confident, that's when that conviction. So you've said, you know, clarity, confidence, conviction. And when you're convicted about something, nobody can stop you.
Exactly.
Nobody can stop you. And that's where we need to get. And this is just coming out of your head. Like, I've thought about this 1,000 times and you're just like, nope.
We're attuned with one another.
But
I was telling a friend the other day, Jeff, that entering into a space that even 5 years ago, I would have been very intimidated to even think about stepping into. However, I know that I've been prepared for it and I can see it so clearly. And he's like, so are you going to do it? I'm like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to step into it. I said, I'm not scared at all. And he's like, well, that's what I like to hear from you. Because I was like little chicken Monica that I'm like, sure. I'm going to go into this space, but I'm not too sure about it. Now there is so much clarity and confidence that I'm like, I don't care.
This is
where we're going and it's going to be great.
That is good.
Yeah.
That is good. So you work with a lot of different people and you make quite an impression on folks because I've been in some round tables with you and you're a great facilitator.
Thank you.
Great facilitator. But how do you hope to leave people when they encounter you?
My hope is if they encounter me is that they walk away feeling a sense of peace within themselves. Not even that they could even identify the source of it, but just that they're calm and that they're confident. Coming back to the C's, you know, that they're clear, calm, and confident for themselves because it's going to allow them to live into their purpose.
Yeah.
And isn't that what we all want?
Absolutely.
So, and if I can help in some way that it kind of pulls them down, it's an escape from the chaos of the world for just a micro moment even. That they can breathe and think clearly, then I think that's what I was there for.
Thanks for joining us this week on I Finally Get It. For more light bulb moments like this, like and subscribe so you never miss an episode. Check out the show notes at ifinallygetit.com to learn more about what Monica's up to today. See you next week when we sit down with Mike Roberts and he shares what he finally got. If you're a business owner and you want to share your light bulb moments to help other business owners, reach out to me at jeff@ifinallygetit.com.